Hey, I'd like to welcome you to another episode of Mission Matters. My name is Adam Torres, and if you'd like to apply to be a guest on the show, just head on over to missionmatters.com and click on Be Our Guest to apply. All right, so today is a very special episode. Today I have Brooke Souza on the line, and she is the founder of Brooke Souza Capital and also author in our upcoming book. Hey, Brooke, first thing first, I just want to say welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
All right. So we have, so much stuff to talk about. We're going to, of course, talk about your book. We're going to talk about Brooke Souza Capital and really all the work that you've been doing for investors, investing in real estate. And just, I watch your Instagram. I'm a fan. I watch your Instagram all the time. And I'll tell you, it's active. It's great content. We're going to talk about, I want the inside edge on your content too and how you create it. But before we do all that, Brooke, we'll start this episode the way that we start them all with what we like to call our mission matters minute. So Brooke, we at Mission Matters, we amplify stories for entrepreneurs, executives, and experts. That's our mission. Brooke, what mission matters to you?
My mission is to help other people the way that somebody once helped me.
It's fantastic. Love bringing mission-based entrepreneurs and executives on the line, really to share why they do what they do, how they do it, and what we can all learn from that so we all grow together. So again, great having you on. And before we get into the real estate side of things and everything else, I want to start with how I was originally introduced to you from through Chris Kai and his GifterX talks. And when I saw you speak in public and I heard your story about, World's Strongest Women, like how you achieved it, like all those things, I was like, oh my gosh, first off. And I said this as soon as I met, when I heard you speak, I'm telling you, Brooke, I said to Chris, okay, Chris, Brooke has to be in a book and she has to come on my show. And I'm glad we were able to make all of that happen. And just to get us, kicked off here, maybe just go into your background a little bit, World's Strongest Woman, like how'd all this take place?
Wow. So, stay-at-home mom and majorly overweight. I was lost in what goals could I have for myself? I didn't come from a background of, exercise and being healthy. So when my youngest daughter turned a year old, I started going to the gym and couldn't last 20 minutes of a group fitness class. But through those classes, I was named She-Hulk. And then I was like, well, I'm going to go lift every, weight in the gym until I become the world's strongest woman. And that led to getting into lifting and setting a presence for my girls to see, I can be a mom and a wife at the time and still go after my own goals.
Wow. It's such a story. And I want to stick in those early days just a little bit longer because I can't glance over this accomplishment and what you've done. You're all over in the press. So for people that haven't, that don't know who Brooke is, just Google her name and you're going to see all kinds of content. But what was that like once you set this goal in your mind? Cause we've talked offline quite a few times, but I've never asked you this. What was that like when you first set that goal? How did that feel?
It was incredibly scary because I don't know anything about what I've ever gone to go and accomplish, And so you're always being told, well, you can't do that, or you should just do, a 5K. All right. Well, I did a marathon. Well, you should only lose 20 pounds and, that's 115 pounds. And it just really amazed me at how many stipulations people put on me as I started talking about this is my goal. And then they just thought, oh, you'll compete one time and you'll be done. And so when you see this doesn't fit for my life and there has to be something so much more, for me to live versus what the people around me were saying. So it became a very, isolated journey, but I was homeschooled too before it was popular. So I think, just knowing you have to just live your own life to the fullest. And I had my family support of look, I've got to go and, accomplish the goal of losing weight to running the marathon. Again, not knowing anything, but just one foot in front of the other and finding my people along the way to help me reach these goals.
Yeah. So what do you think are some of the things that helped you kind of, and I don't mean routines, but just in general, what are some of the things that you feel just helped you stay focused? How did you keep that focus? Cause I feel like entrepreneurs and just people with ideas in general, we're sometimes all over the place, but how did you stay focused?
When it came to weight loss and competing, the weight loss part, I was just trying to set out the path for my girls to realize, okay, they have got to live a healthier life than, me being 10 years old. And I was 180 pounds at the time. And so that was like my focus was I did not want my girls to, you know, grow up into their teenage years living a life of pain like I did. Mm-hmm. And then when it came to, you know, going out and accomplishing my, you know, marathon running days or strongman, it was really just showing them that, okay, you don't quit when things get hard. I've torn my hands up. I've, you know, torn my bicep and I still competed. And that way, you know, just to show them things outside of what school teaches, I wanted them to realize, okay, yes, life is going to be hard. And yes, you have to juggle all these different things. Is it really juggling? No, it's just, I think, a way of life. I believe like we are taught to just handle one thing at a time, you know, such as go get good grades in school. But if you do school and a sport, then you are forced to quit if your, you know, grades start going down. And I'm just like, but then you have a shock when you come out of, you know, high school and out on your own. So again, putting myself through these different journeys to show anybody, okay, here's the breakdown. And it's really simple. You know, it's like you first start, you know, cooking, you add one ingredient and then you're like, oh, well, maybe I want this ingredient. And over time, it's really not that big of a deal to manage all of this. So it's not even a juggling act. It's more of like, we are capable of doing so many more things than just going to work and living that 9-to-5 life. Or just going to school, like you can become different things in your lifetime.
Yeah. And one of the things that I've just noticed from, you know, from the outside looking in, and now I like to think also from the inside as we become part of each other's community, is that you are an ultimate community builder, whether you realize this or not. And I want your comments on this, but you, whether it's intuitively or otherwise, are always building community. And a lot of it shows too, in my opinion, some of the results and the things you've been able to accomplish in real estate. But even before that, I mean, what was the idea of community? Like, where did you get that sense from? Because I feel it's pretty unique.
Well, I'm really glad you bring this up because I don't really get to talk about this, but you are right. This is something very deep inside for my passion and my why and life and my purpose. Like, this goes back to like when I was a kid, my parents always had the opportunity for our family to come over, friends come over. Mm. It wasn't even like family blood related. It was just people that came over. And it's like, well, what are we celebrating? We're like, oh, we're celebrating May 23rd. Like, let's go out. You know, like we would have a cookout or whatever. And my parents had no money, but we always had people over. The doors were always open. In my personal home, I had the same like rule. I'm like, no, I don't care if it's my personal home or a house I'm working on. Everybody is allowed to come and go. And when I was a personal trainer a lot, like, okay, I could be your one trainer one-on-one, but if I had a, you know, group of like 25 people at an hour, which is how it was pre-COVID, like people then could talk to each other. I'm not going to be your only tool in your toolbox to have the best life possible. I connect you with this person over here that has similar issues or problems, whatever it could be. Or, oh, wait, this person over here can help you. You just started like matchmaking and it was just so beautiful. And so now in real estate, I do the same thing where I'm like, okay, everybody's going to know everybody and who I work with or just in the connection to get their own journey started because there's something so much more than it being all about yourself. And when you start seeing like, oh, I just talked to so-and-so, I'm like, great. Did they help you? Like, you know, they're like, oh, we got started and we got my headshots or we went and looked at properties. Like, that makes me so happy because you get the win too. And then you realize you're not living life alone. And so when I look at like how lonely the journey is, like from being homeschooled because I didn't want to be a follower. So I begged my parents at like 9 years old to homeschool me. And then you look into, you know, obviously weight loss journey, you have to like keep yourself from going out and eating with people. Then when you run a marathon, nobody's going to go out there and train a marathon with me. So you're running by yourself. Then you go into strongman, like people are like, Brooke, I'm not going to lift cars, but you go right ahead. So the journey from being so isolated, right? And then I'm like, well, with real estate, like I want everybody to win. And like when you listen to these books and you're learning and stuff, you're like, wow, like you realize if there's the numbers are right, everybody can win. Everybody can eat at this table. And my table is like pretty big. I even have my here at home, like my kitchen table is like, no, there is no kid table like the holidays, you know, like, no, we are all eating together. Yeah. And so that's how I view my business. And I absolutely love it because you just grow people. And there's some people who are there just for a chapter. There's some people that just don't go away from series to series. And I absolutely love it because it's like, it just, you enhance other people's lives. And we all are where we are because of things that we just don't know. And it's like, sometimes like, I just want to be the mom. I'm like, come on, I'm going to hold your hand and guide you for the next few steps or maybe the next mile, but we're going to get through this and you'll be like free to fly away and grow up. Right. And it's like, I'm always here for you. And, you know, cause I've put myself through this personal journey to learn all these things. That way I could coach other people. And it's like, you won't fail. It's okay. I'm giving you a canvas to go and learn on, to be free from whatever trauma has happened in your past, to grow past and be better for somebody else.
Yeah, it's so true. And what I love about this is I've witnessed it. Like I've seen how your community engages. I see how authentic you are. I see how like forthcoming you are with not just information, right? On the business side and real estate and things like that. I find that, you know, that can sometimes be the easier or the safe place for a lot of entrepreneurs, but you are authentic and you also share of yourself, your time, your expertise outside of just business, the business side of things. So for that, I'm like, I'm always taking notes from you, Brooke, just so you know. And I see where it started then. It started with your parents. That's amazing.
Thank you.
So Brooke, I want to switch it up here a little bit. So as we've been talking about kind of a little bit investing in real estate, so private money, real estate, investing for beginners, like let's talk a little bit more about your story. You mentioned you started as in personal training and the athletic side of things. Like how did real estate come up?
Real estate just kind of like happened. It wasn't anything I ever dreamt about. I mean, a lot of people come to me like, oh, I was going to do real estate. And I'm just like, okay, it wasn't really like my choice. COVID took my personal training business. So with working like 6 hours a week as a personal trainer, 7 years, you know, pre-COVID, I was like, I'm not going to go back to working for anybody or, you know, living a life where I have to restrict myself. And so I was like, okay, well, I got all this time on my hands because of the schedule I built for myself. And I read Rich Dad, Poor Dad. Of course, a lot of people will say this book and you have to, I read one book since high school. So for me to read or listen to this book, that was a big step. And then I was like, okay. Like I went to my kids. I was like, did you guys know what an asset and liability was? And they're like, yeah, mommy. And I was like, well, I'm 39 years old and I'm just now finding this out. So I was like, I've got to figure this whole game. Like I had to figure this out for my kids to not end up working for me the way that my parents will, you know, in their 60s. And so I made it a mission to like educate myself. And I was like, knowledge is power. And I became so absorbed in books and I would go learn hands-on how to do the work myself until like I got to a point where I could actually hire people for those jobs. But for 13 years after I lost my home in the market crash of 2008, I told myself I'd never buy a house. And now we're over 100.
Wow. And I didn't know that part of the story. So in the very beginning, you said that you started out, I just thought you were handy or grew up that way. Cause I've seen pictures on Instagram where you're like fixing something or doing something, you're messing with some drywall. I don't know what you're doing. I'm like, there goes Brooke again. So wait a minute. So you were actually one of the first people that were actually physically working on the houses in the beginning before you could hire people. Is that right?
Yes. I knew on several different levels. You're not
scared to get your hands dirty.
No. I figured that would be a way for me to know timelines for how long a project would take. I could really figure out like, you know, what, you know, the respect I would have for the people coming into my houses to do the job too. Drywall finishers, like hands down, they're worth every penny. So that's something that I don't have patience for. But I had it like 24 days to learn enough in HVAC, plumbing, electrical to be able to like, okay, I know what tools, I know how this goes in. I can see the pieces come together. It's like putting together like a Lego set, right? And so when people would come in, you know, to my homes and start quoting me for stuff, I'm like, okay, well, divide the hours, you know, of how long it would take to do the job. I'm like, I don't mind doing it. I'll do it myself. But then like the last like 6 months, I've been able to be fully like hands off the house. And if I ever need to step in and be coach or motivate the crew, like I have no problem like laying flooring, doing plumbing, teaching plumbing. Like it's really fun.
Now, that's amazing to me because you'll get your hands dirty. I mean, there was times when, I remember being in real estate doing certain things and I was like, oh man, I don't know. But you're in the mix. Like you're enjoying it. And you could tell, by the way, by your crew and the other people around you. And I feel like possibly part of this has been a part of maybe the reason for your success. Now you mentioned, and let's kind of maybe shift focus a bit here. And I want to go into Brooke Souza Capital as well. So maybe that's part of the reason why you've been so successful. I mean, you said over 100 houses. Am I off on that?
I think we're at like 124, wow. I think.
Wow.
It's been incredible. Like 58 this year already. My goal is 100.
Yeah.
But I think when you have other people, go ahead.
No, go ahead. Yeah.
When I'm using other people's money, like to me, money is where your heart is, right? Mm-hmm. And so I had the responsibility as a personal trainer with other people's bodies. They've come to me, I'm paying you to help me. They would tell me, their said goal. And it's important for me to know what their body needed to get them to the success of what they, the end goal, right?
Yeah.
And so now in real estate, I'm using other people's money. I have their heart in my hand. So how do I make sure it's my responsibility to protect that at all costs, whether it's running down squatters or, different appraisers and whatnot, or, just to make sure I know my knowledge behind that. Or, okay, if skilled labor wants to tell me X amount of dollars for a job that costs a third of that, I am, again, responsible for that person's money. They're like relying on me to know, lead the way and, protect their investment. So I just found it really important for me to learn the information, but also all these guys know, okay, well, if we're not going to perform, Brooke's going to jump in and do it, because I have a commitment to not only my hard money lenders, but also to my private investors where, okay, we have a timeline and this doesn't take a year to turn a house. Mm-hmm. I think I'm turning houses in like 3 months, time that you rehab them to, refinance or flip. And it's like, I want to keep that, consistency of no longer than 6 month turnaround. Mm.
What do you think, maybe first off, how did you kind of get started and go the private money route? Like, how did you do that? And really, how what are some of the secrets or some of the things that you feel have made you so successful in, earning the trust of your private investors?
I always tell people it's kind of like not there. Oh, the sense that I had myself already a name built for myself in another area of life. And so when you're successful in another area, to use that and showing like, okay, I don't quit. I don't give up. And it was really important to me to go back on the core values of how the world once operated of handshake and your word is everything. And so that is still like my core value in business. Like if I say I'm going to do something, like I'm going to do it. And even through the market changes that have happened recently, there are still ways of always finding a solution to never fail. Or there are so many other options, but you have to be creative. Mm-hmm. And so when I teach not only my laborers how to be creative, and what is around in the solution to a lot of the problems, because again, it pulls the weight off of me and always thinking, but you're creating those people. Like I know Napoleon Hill doesn't say you can have a creative, create a creative mind, but I believe you can open up people's minds into like thinking a little bit more of like, okay, what is the, solution? But also in the investor of like, okay, you do realize like we have this money and we can turn it into something bigger. And, looking at retirement plans or, different ways of investing what they have. But when I got started, I didn't have any money, I'm losing my business of, $30,000 a month and there's no handout. So I'm like, okay, well, people are like, well, I don't know anybody with money. And so what I really encourage to new investors is like, start talking to people. I think we get so isolated and not talking to the person next to you in the grocery store or at the bar or wherever you're at, like just start up a conversation. And, especially the last 3 years of just like everyone just stopped kind of like talking to people with, being 6 feet away or whatever. Mm-hmm. I'm like, you have the opportunity to really learn about those around you. And so the more you start talking to people, you have no clue. Like it's the investors that I get on the airplanes. Like it's the investor from a cruise from, 15 years ago. Wow. There are people everywhere and you have no clue when they're going to come back and play a role in your life. But if you think you can do life on your own or within just your family and not ask for help, you're not going to get very far. And I know that, I mean, I was raised where, like, you know, you always do everything by yourself. Don't ask for help. And then I'm just like, man, if I had the Mac Daddy of tools, meaning people, what kind of empire could you build? Yeah. And when I competed, if I had all the exercises in the world and not just this 5-3-1 or, you know, CrossFit, you know, type program, if I had all these exercises to train my weaknesses, what kind of, you know, strength could I, you know, perform?
Yeah.
And so I just look at, okay, you have to find your people. I didn't know that there was such thing as a 54-inch bathtub one time for a house. And I was just like, I just started talking to people. I'm like, if I need something, I'll just tell, okay, here's what's going on in my life, right? And I'm just like, man, 54-inch bathtub. And there was the delivery driver for Lowe's that overheard me. And he's like, oh yeah, that's a mobile home bathtub. I was like, what? And so instead of me waiting 8 weeks for a special order, he found them for me in like 2 hours. And there, these things happen all the time. And it's just like, okay, you're not meant to live life alone. And if you just start speaking, you'll be finding those people for the, you know, private money as well as to get through any part of your life.
Yeah. What do you look for in investments as you're going out there and thinking about a property to purchase? And I mean, this could be geography, type of property. I mean, just give us a little bit of insight into your investment thesis and really how you make decisions.
Well, I love the worst of a house, the better. Like if it's ugly and nobody wants to step foot in it, I'm like, that's my house. I look at it as like the broken people, right? Nobody wants to touch the people with baggage and like, oh, you've got a lot of problems. And so I look at these houses the same way as people. I'm like, no, like I have a purpose in the ability to take something of like brokenness and put it back together again. And so I have my standards of the 70% rule, which is 70% loan to value. I won't go any like more of leverage on my homes. And in that way, there's plenty of money in the budget of like, okay, if I have to hold a house instead of flipping it, or if I need to flip a house instead of holding it, I won't lose either way. So I have multiple exit strategies in each house. So again, I have to protect other people's money.
Yeah.
And then I want to make sure the investor gets a good chunk of their investment. You know, there's plenty to pay the contractors for said skill that each person gets paid, right?
Absolutely.
And you really have to know those numbers and what they bring to the table and the speed in which we can all function together, because we all once operated this way. I mean, this isn't anything new, you know, but it's just a standard, an expectation, a requirement in my business to be here. And then that way I can take on these, you know, harder houses that nobody wants to deal with. So definitely a 3-bedroom or can at least make a 3-bedroom. I'm looking at the resale. You know, I don't want to be stuck with a 2-bedroom that's 900 square feet. That's not going to help, you know, sell quickly if I needed to. But yeah, I guess it's pretty much like, it's very small buy box that I have, like at least 1400 square feet. And then, you know, okay, within those numbers, that 70% rule with rehab and purchase price, where I can go with those properties. And it doesn't matter if it's in Ohio or Florida, which I just started flipping in.
Oh, expansion to Florida. Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, tell me more. Congrats.
Thank you. My goal when I started was I purchased my first house for $35,000 and $15,000 rehab. I thought, okay, if worst comes to worst, you know, I have to go work at McDonald's or Lowe's, you know, and make $50,000 to recover from this situation, right? But I'm going to get this figured out. So obviously I went and sold that first house for $100,000. So we're good. We're good. But I wanted to work my way up just like a training program. I didn't go straight to, you know, running with 800 pounds on my back. I still, I had to start with like 135 pounds and then go up. And so when I started with flipping houses, my goal was to be down in Florida on something so high end with a bigger rehab budget and to challenge myself in a whole different state. And now I'm there.
Oh, that's awesome. That's so exciting. And I'm curious on the investor side. So I did talk about maybe how you started looking for investors originally. You asked people, you looked around your network. You obviously do a lot of posting on social media as well. Like I've seen that. Like, what do you look for in an investor? Because it's a two-way relationship. So what do you look for on the other side of things? Like who's typically a good fit to work with you and your team?
So I have two ways of investing with me. One is where you're just putting up a percent, you know, a basically investment of between 10,000 to upwards of 200,000, right?
Yeah.
And so you get a return based on the amount invested. And that would be more of like, I have some people who are like, just here's the money. Let me know when we're refinancing or selling the property. I don't care to know anything else. Yeah. And then I have other people who like to bring some money to the table and they want to like, okay, be coached along the way, which, okay, cool. I love to educate you.
Yeah.
And then the second way is where I'm going into an LLC with the investor on a property where they get 50% of whatever profit made. And I'm still like, they're the bank and I'm just going and doing my thing. The best fit is when people trust the process, know who I am, know that I will always follow through with my word and just allow me to go. Anyone who wants to micromanage or, you know, control every little thing, like that doesn't really work with me on any part of my life.
Yeah, that's good. I'm glad you bring that up because there's some that'll watch this that want to, you know, duplicate and do what you do. And then there's some that may want to invest, but either way, like there's a lot of lessons to be learned in what you just said. Like life is like, obviously you want to make sure you attract the right type of investors. And also if you're aiming to do what Brooke is doing and take on deals and start raising capital, like you want to kind of consider who you're taking money from, because sometimes raising the money from the wrong area can not necessarily be the best thing, right?
Yeah, usually people who are like 10,000 and under are some of the hardest ones because they're really investing all that they have. So instead of like understanding real estate, they're just like looking at that quick dollar turnaround. And it's like, okay, there's only so many things that I can do on my end, but you know, we have a program set up for the people who want to get started with that $5,000, $10,000 investment, and they can just watch their money grow over a couple of years, not just that 3 to 6 month turnaround.
And so I want to switch it up here a bit. We won't spend much time on this next question, by the way, Brooke, because we are going to be bringing you back onto the show. Like we're right now in the middle of a soft launch, but we're not fully launched yet for the upcoming book that you'll be a part of. And I'm so thrilled to have you in this book. So just a little bit of a teaser. Again, we're not going to go too far into it today, but everybody watching, don't worry, we're bringing Brooke back. What are some of the things that you presented in the upcoming book?
Oh man, there are so many good things of just like teaching you how to like start out small and build your business, but also building the community around you is really important in this next book and breaking down a business that, you know, even our grandpas, you know, used to operate on.
It's awesome. That I'm going to cut you there. We're going to bring you back in the show. We'll do a full interview just on the book. But first, we want to make sure that that edition is out and live, because I want everybody that's watching to go pick up a copy, of course. Well, Brooke, first off, it has been great having you on the show. We finally got to do this. And again, we'll be bringing you back on the show once the book's out and live. But for today, I mean, what's next? What's next for you? What's next for your business?
So I have 6 more months of being like really hands-on, and I'm excited about this next journey because I've recently graduated from a couple of my speaking coaching classes. And then with my books coming out and my personal memoir is coming out too. And I'm ready to go around the world and speak and really help launch my fund as well. That's coming. So thank you.
Oh no, I'm so excited to see and watch your continued growth. Excited to support you, get the message out about what you're doing. I can't wait for this book and then also your memoir when that comes out. We're of course going to support that, and I'm so excited to get the word out to our community about it. But that being said, for today, if somebody's watching this or listening to this and they want to follow up and they want to learn more and connect with you and your team, what's the best way for them to do that?
On Instagram at Brooke Souza or by email, brooksouzacapital@gmail.com.
Fantastic. And we'll put all that information in the show notes so that our audience can just click on the links and head right on over. And definitely recommend following Brooke on Instagram. I follow her and I'm telling you, it's great content. One more time, if people didn't get it the first time, a little bit slower, what's the Instagram handle?
At Brooke with the E-S-O-U-S-A. And our email, brooksouzacapital@gmail.com.
Fantastic. We'll put all in the show notes for the audience. And speaking of the audience, if this is your first time with Mission Matters or engaging in an episode or the platform in general, we're all about bringing on business owners, entrepreneurs, and executives and having them share their mission, the reason behind their mission, you know, how they got started, what motivates them, and so that we can all grow together, so we can all learn and grow together from that content. And if that's the type of content that sounds interesting or fun or exciting to you, we welcome you. Hit that subscribe button, because we have many more mission-based individuals coming up on the line and we don't want you to miss a thing. And Brooke, again, it has been a pleasure. Until the next time, thanks again for coming on the show.